Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Hello, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Great to be with you today. And we are doing, starting now, a series of broadcasts preparing you for the elections, for the midterm elections. Now, we've been doing a lot of broadcasts about the elections already, but we are entering now the final phase of preparation, these final 3 weeks before Election Day, and we are going to give you tools, resources, deeper information. We're going to study and analyze the trends. We're going to dig deep into what we can all do to bring about pro-life victories in this midterm election of 2018 and to bring about further advances for the good of the United States of America. I hope you will join us starting now. I hope you will sign up for our election activities at prolifevote.com. And I hope this will be a blessing to you and that you'll be able to spread this to others, people that only you can reach, that we cannot reach except through you. Now, brothers and sisters, what I want to start with tonight is to show you a new resource that we have just developed and released, something that you can take and spread all over the place. Let me tell you the idea behind it. 2 years ago, you, we, and so many other people worked very, very hard in the presidential election, and we elected President Donald Trump, together with many other pro-life public officials. That effort paid off. Those votes bore fruit. We have seen the results in these last 2 years. A lot of progress has been made. Many voters said, in fact, 49% of the voters said that the abortion issue affected their vote. And of those 49, 31 said yes, 31% said yes, I voted pro-life. The other 18% voted pro-abortion. So pro-life has a very strong advantage, and the abortion issue is very influential in the decisions of voters throughout our land. We wanted to elect a pro-life president and a pro-life Congress. We did, and there has been progress. So what we did was we made a little video showing some of that progress. And the reason that we're showing this is because in this 2018 elections, the key thing we need to do is to go back and get those 2016 voters and make sure they come out again. We can't skip the midterm elections. We can't vote just in the presidential races every 4 years. We've got to vote now. And so it's just as important for the 2016 Trump voters to come out now and vote in such a way that we give him a Congress, strong pro-life majorities in the House and in the Senate, so that he can continue to make the great pro-life progress that he has been making. And to show you some of the pro-life progress he has been making and to motivate you not only to vote yourself, but to get countless others to vote, we have released this video listing in 10 bullet points the pro-life accomplishments of the Trump administration. Let's watch it.
Many pro-life people worked hard to elect President Donald Trump. That hard work has paid off for the pro-life movement and the unborn. Here are just some of the pro-life accomplishments of the president and his administration. Number 10. President Trump has called on Congress to pass key pro-life legislation to protect babies and defund the abortion industry. Number 9. President Trump has filled his administration with strong pro-life people in key positions. Number 8. President Trump has ended the HHS mandate, forcing employers to cover abortion in health insurance. Number 7. President Trump set up new conscience protections for those who refuse to participate in abortions. Number 6. President Trump ended the secrecy about which health insurance plans cover abortion. Number 5. President Trump stopped funding the abortion industry overseas. Number 4. President Trump protected your tax dollars from funding abortion through Title 10. Number 3. President Trump gave the states the right to stop funding Planned Parenthood and abortion. Number 2. President Trump appointed 2 pro-life Supreme Court justices and dozens of other pro-life federal judges. And the number one thing, the first and greatest thing that President Trump did for the pro-life movement was to keep Hillary Clinton out of the White House. To all of you who voted for President Trump in 2016, congratulations. Your vote paid off. But be sure to get out and vote again this 2018 midterm election so that the president has a strong pro-life Congress to enable him to continue winning more victories for the cause of life.
Well, did you like that? I hope you like it as much as we do. And prolifepresident.com is the website where you can see that video, share it with others, and you can download the audio for it if you run radio stations or can share it in other ways in audio format. prolifepresident.com, prolifepresident.com. It's important to motivate people and help them recognize that their vote 2 years ago, their pro-life vote, did count. It did make a difference, and that motivation then needs to get them out to the polls this time. It's very simple. Now, in point number 10 on that list of accomplishments, you see that I mentioned the president has called upon Congress and has promised to sign legislation protecting babies in the womb, a very specific piece of legislation that has actually already been voted on by the members of the House of Representatives who are asking for your vote again, and by the Senate, one-third of whom are asking for your vote again. That legislation is what I want to discuss here tonight because it would protect babies from painful dismemberment. We are talking about a bill called the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. The first word of the name of this bill is pain, because babies in the womb can feel pain. They can feel pain much earlier than we ever thought that they could. And certainly by 20 weeks, they can feel excruciating pain, especially if their arms and legs are torn off their bodies while they're still alive. That's exactly what happens in dismemberment abortions. You can see this chart here, this very disturbing chart. This is what I want to point out to you, and I want to say this. This midterm election is very much an election that asks one simple question. Will this be permitted to do legally in America? It already is legal. Will those who are asking us for our vote stop this brutal dismemberment of babies? I'm going to describe to you what this procedure is. I'm going to show you where you can get these diagrams, either in print or online. And I'm going to tell you what the House of Representatives and the Senate have done about this already, and what you should ask of the candidates who are asking for your vote in these midterm elections. We already know where the president stands. He made it clear in the debates during the campaign. He made it clear in written statements. He made it clear in his calls to Congress. He made it clear in various talks that he has given around the country. He made it clear directly and personally to pro-life leaders like me that he wants this to stop. He wants the law to protect these babies from having their arms and legs torn off in the manner in which I'm about to describe to you. So he's got his pen and he's ready to sign legislation that would say from 20 weeks forward, and this is an abortion of a 23-week baby, from 20 weeks forward, these babies are to be protected. Because not only because their lives are valuable, but when this happens to them, they feel pain. Let's talk about what happens in this procedure. And that'll give you a little bit of history about what the Congress has tried to do about it. And remember, based on who's being elected right now in this midterm elections, it'll determine how much they can do about it next year. Dilation and evacuation abortion, D&E. This is one of the dismemberment procedures basically used in second trimester abortions. Body parts are grasped with at random in a blind process with a long tooth clamp. So you see here the abortionist's hand reaching in with these forceps, grabbing the thigh of the baby here, and, well, simply twisting it and pulling it out. That's how the procedure works. The baby's alive. The leg is grasped and is literally pulled off the baby. Then body parts are pulled out from the fetal body out of the vaginal canal. You see here. The legs have been taken off. Now an arm is being pulled out. Step three, the remaining body parts are grasped and pulled out. So you see the baby's body is pulled off, pulled apart piece by piece. The last remaining piece is the head. And what happens here, the head is grasped and crushed in order to remove it. So a nip is made in the skull. It begins to fragment. And the skull is brought out piece by piece. Now, this diagram was made by Nucleus Medical Media. This is a company that makes medical diagrams for medical textbooks, for courtroom trials and testimonies. But I want to read for you what some abortionists have said about this procedure. And you can actually find, I'm going to tell you where you can find these quotes and these diagrams, because I need you to use these to motivate voters in this particular election. But first, let's read some of these quotes. The abortionists are talking about these in sworn testimony that is has been given in courtrooms, not because this procedure is illegal, but precisely because it's legal. And some of these abortionists were called in as expert witnesses to talk about abortion. So I want to quote for you actually from three different sources. I'm going to quote for you from a medical textbook, from a Supreme Court case, and from another court testimony by abortionists. This first quote comes from abortionist Warren Hearn, who wrote the medical textbook called Abortion Practice. And he says, "The procedure changes significantly at 21 weeks. Because the fetal tissues become much more cohesive and difficult to dismember. This problem is accentuated by the fact that the fetal pelvis may be as much as 5 centimeters in width. The calvaria head is no longer the principal problem. It can be collapsed. Other structures, such as the pelvis, present more difficulty. A long curved Mayo scissors may be necessary to decapitate and dismember the fetus." Notice the words that Warren Hearn uses to describe that procedure on page 154 of his medical textbook, Abortion Practice. Decapitate and dismember. Friends, let me put it to you as clearly as possible. In the elections of 2018, we need to ask the members of the House of Representatives, do you think it should be legal to decapitate and dismember a living baby? Don't think for one moment that this is only done when the baby has a medical problem or the mother has a medical problem. No, this is being done when the babies are healthy and the mothers are healthy. And we have to ask the members of the House of Representatives, how did you vote on this when it came up for a vote? We're going to get to that in a minute. And we have to ask the members of the Senate that are asking for your vote and mine, how did you vote on this when it came up for a vote? Do you think dismembering and decapitating babies should be legal? Well, the U.S. Supreme Court, in the case of Gonzalez versus Carhart in 2007, also talked about this procedure, which remains legal. And here's what they said. The doctor grips a fetal part with the forceps and pulls it back through the cervix, continuing to pull even after meeting resistance from the cervix. The friction causes the fetus to tear apart. For example, a leg might be ripped off the fetus as it is pulled through the cervix and out of the woman. The process of evacuating the fetus piece by piece continues until it has been completely removed. End of quote. That's the U.S. Supreme Court in April of 2007, talking about this procedure. You see it here, the pieces of the body, like it said, being torn off bit by bit, removed from the mother. Do you ever hear these politicians talk this way? Did you ever hear your representative in Congress who's asking for your vote right now? Did you ever hear him or her describe this procedure? They know about it because they voted on it. They voted on it. How did they vote on it? Did they vote yes, this should be continued, it should be legal? Or did they vote no, we want to protect these babies? Let's read one more quote, and this comes from another court testimony by a practicing abortionist. This is Martin Haskell from Ohio. Let's just say, for instance, he says, we took a different view, a different tact, and we left the leg in the uterus just to dismember it. Well, we'd probably have to dismember it at several different levels because we don't have firm control over it. So we would attack the lower part of the lower extremity first, remove, you know, possibly a foot, then the lower leg at the knee, and finally we get to the hip. And typically when the abortion procedure is started, we typically know that the fetus is still alive. Because either we can feel it move as we're making our initial grasps, or if we're using some ultrasound visualization, when we actually see a heartbeat as we're starting the procedure. It's not unusual, Dr. Haskell continues, at the start of the D&E procedures that a limb is acquired first. Now, this is what you see here, right? What we showed you already. A limb is acquired first, he says, and that limb is brought through the cervix. Prior to disarticulation and prior to anything having been done that would have caused fetal demise up to that point. When you're doing a dismemberment D&E, usually the last part to be removed is the skull itself, and it's floating free inside the uterine cavity. So it's rather like a ping pong ball floating around. And the surgeon is using his forceps to reach up to try to grasp something that's freely floating around and is quite large relative to the forceps we're using. So typically, there's several misdirections, misattempts to grasp. Finally, at some point, either the instruments are managed to be placed around the skull or a nip is made in some area of the skull that allows it to start to decompress. And then, once that happens, typically, the skull is brought out in fragments rather than as a unified piece. End of quote. By abortionist Martin Haskell, in testimony that he gave in the District Court for the Western District of Wisconsin in Madison in May of 1999. When was the last time you heard your member of the House of Representatives or your United States Senator use the words, in a reference to abortion, a foot, a leg, or a skull being brought out in fragments? You need to ask anyone who's asking you for their vote whether they think a baby's skull should be taken out by fragments from his or her mother's body. Did the United States Congress address this barbaric violence? The answer is yes, they did. Let me give you a very short history and show you how they voted. In the last 5 years, this procedure has been voted on by the United States House of Representatives 3 separate times. Once in 2013, once in 2015, and once again in 2017. In other words, in 3 successive Congresses, the House of Representatives voted about this procedure. All 3 times, the House of Representatives voted to stop this procedure and protect these babies. Now, they're still not protected because it wasn't passed by the Senate, but the House of Representatives voted to stop this violence and to protect these babies from dismemberment. However, the vote was along party lines all 3 times, except for a few exceptions either way that you could count on one hand. I'm going to tell you right now, brothers and sisters, those who voted to protect these babies from painful dismemberment were the Republican members of the House of Representatives. And those who voted to keep, God save us, to keep this legal were the Democrat members of the House of Representatives, again with just one handful of exceptions. Let me show you a couple of diagrams here. Now, this is the vote in the House of Representatives on the measure H.R. 36. That was the number given to the bill. This Congress now, this was actually voted on in the fall of 2017. And I want you to notice that breakdown, the red shows the we have the yes votes and the no votes, a simple graph showing you how many voted yes, how many voted no. And you see that the yes votes, the bar is all red. What that means is that the yes votes, that is yes to protect these babies, were cast by Republicans. Just about each and every one of them, with the exception of two Republicans who voted no and three Republicans who didn't vote at all. All the rest of them voted to say, yeah, this has got to stop. We have to protect these babies. Notice where it says no, the bar is blue. The Democrats said, no. We don't need to stop this. And I ask you, what's wrong with them? And you need to ask them what's wrong with them. They're in the House of Representatives right now, and they're asking you to reelect them. In fact, they're hoping that they get more people in their party so that more people can vote, no, let's not protect these babies. This is going on right here and now, and this is a question, my goodness, if you and I don't ask this question of these representatives, we are failing in our duty. What is it that you want to know about the member of the House of Representatives who's asking you to reelect him or her? What do you want to know about them? Among anything that you want to know, don't you know if they would be willing to protect a baby from something like this? And yet they're on record already as having voted either to protect these babies or not to protect them, either to continue this violence or not to continue it. You ask them, you challenge them. I'm telling you right now, in 2017, the Democrats in the House of Representatives voted to continue this violence, and the Republicans voted to protect these babies. Now, let's go to the Senate. Well, you can also see there's another graph that I have. It shows the semicircle of the House of Representatives, and it shows the members of the House of Representatives seated in their places. And you see, again, the red and the blue. What you see there is the dark colors are the yes votes. And what you see is all the red ones are dark, and a 1, 2, 3 of the blue ones. And then the light colors are the no votes, that is no to protecting these babies. And you see that the blue ones are the lighter color. Now, when we go to the Senate, the Senate voted on this twice, but what they were voting on was a procedural vote. In other words, in the Senate, in order to take up a matter like, are we going to protect these babies, they first have to have a vote about considering the matter in the first place. So they had what's called a cloture vote. And for that to pass, you need not a simple majority of 51, you need 60 votes. We'll get into that on another one of our programs in more detail as to why that's the case. But the fact of the matter is that neither in the last Congress nor in the current Congress that's just ending now were there enough senators to advance this legislation, sadly. There weren't enough. And so once again, when we look at the breakdown, we see the bars. The yeses, that is, yeah, let's go ahead and vote to protect these babies. Let's vote on the legislation. The yeses are all red, and the noes are all blue. In other words, it's the Republicans that wanted to stop this violence and protect these babies. It was the Democrats who said, hey, let the violence continue. Again, what's wrong with them? In January of 2018, there was a vote in the United States Senate. Many of the senators that are up for re-election right now voted on this very procedure. They voted on a bill called the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act that would protect babies from 20 weeks forward. And this, you see, is an abortion of a baby at 23 weeks. The point being, ask your senator, how did he or she vote on this particular issue? Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota voted no. We're not going to consider protecting these babies. Claire McCaskill of Missouri. No, we're not even going to consider protecting these babies. John Tester of Montana. Hey, John, maybe you're listening right now. What's the matter with you? You couldn't even advance the question of whether or not to protect these babies? What's the matter with you? There are two senators up for re-election, one in Wisconsin and one here in Florida, and I hope somebody who knows them will show them this program, show them this video, because I've got a question for them, and those of you who live in Wisconsin and those of you who live in Florida, this is one of the to-do items I want to give you for this election. Ask them this question. When it came up in the Senate in January of this year, whether we should advance to consider legislation to protect babies 20 weeks and older from a procedure that grabs their arms and legs while they're still alive and pulls them apart, they missed the vote. They didn't vote at all. Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin, the state in which Martin Haskell gave the testimony that we just read, by the way, and Bill Nelson of Florida. Senators, you've got an unanswered question on the table. What do you think of this? And do you think this violence should continue? Do you think maybe that these babies should be protected? So, Wisconsin residents, ask Tammy Baldwin. Florida residents, ask Bill Nelson. Ask him privately, ask him publicly. Call his office, write a letter to the editor. Let's make a public thing out of this. The point is, the only way these senators get away with either saying, no, we're not going to protect these babies, or with evading and hiding from the vote altogether, like Senators Baldwin and Nelson did, the only way they get away with this is if we don't raise the question. Are you with me? Are you with me, brothers and sisters? Can you make some noise about this? We're trying to make some noise about it. And I'm going to help you make noise about this because I want to show you what you can do here. First of all, I want to give you this diagram. I have right here in my hand these printed copies of this diagram. And then on the back, it has the quotes from the abortionists of how they do this procedure, some of the quotes I just read to you. We'll send you these, as many as you want. We have an arrangement with the Nucleus Medical Media, and you can't just go on and print these. You have to have a contract with Nucleus Medical Media to be able to print them. But we've printed them, and we'll send them to you by the dozens, by the hundreds, by the thousands, if you can use them for this election season, to make your fellow citizens aware that this is indeed one of the important electoral questions. So contact us at Priests for Life to get these. You can email us at orders@priestsforlife.org and ask for the abortion diagrams, orders@priestsforlife.org. Or you can call us. We have a very simple phone number, 321-500-1000. 321-500-1000. Call us and you can order printouts of these diagrams. And on our website, you can also see the diagrams. Let me show you how to get there. If we could navigate on our website, our Priests for Life website, it's priestsforlife.org, but we also have a domain I like even more, endabortion.us. That's our main website, endabortion.us. But for this page, we have another easy-to-remember domain, and it's unborn.info. Unborn.info is where you go to find these diagrams. Now, when you go there, you will see a number of main buttons that you press because there's a lot of information there. The one you want to go to find these diagrams after you go to unborn.info is a button that says abortion procedure diagrams. And then you click that particular button and then you're going to see a list of a number of different abortion procedures that we provide you information about. Are you following with us here? You see the different abortion procedures. The second one is the dismemberment abortion that we just described. And when you go there, you click on there, there is a page that gives a little bit of more of information. And then in the second paragraph on that page, you have a link to the diagram itself. And you can show this, you can bookmark that page, show it to people, and raise this conversation among your fellow voters. Will our senator, will our representative protect these babies? And if not, why not? Most of the American people, even people who call themselves pro-choice, even people who call themselves Democrats, are in favor of protecting these babies. Even people who think that abortion should be allowed early in the pregnancy, which of course it should not, but even those who think it should, will also say, well, when you get this late into the pregnancy, we're talking about a 23-week baby, at that point it shouldn't be allowed, certainly not. And most people are with us on this. So why aren't our representatives? Why aren't our Democrat representatives in the House and also in the Senate? Again, what amazes me is how this is split down the middle as a party line vote. I don't get that. What is it about being a Democrat that requires you to abandon these babies? What is it about being a Democrat that makes you want this to happen? Can any of you answer this question? And if not, can we ask the Democrats, ask the Democrat leadership, ask the Democrats in the House that are running and asking for your vote, ask the Democrat senators, what is it about being a Democrat? Why do you want to wear the badge of dismemberment? I'm asking you again, does that make any sense to any of you? I don't think it does. And therefore, we've got to challenge they're coming to us and asking for our vote. We've got to challenge them on why in the world would they allow something like this? One more page on our website, on priestsforlife.org, we have a project called Is This What You Mean? And priestsforlife.org/isthiswhatyoumean is where we have this whole project. We have all these quotes from the abortionist that I read, and that page just has a couple of links on it. But at the top, you'll see a link that says you can get a PDF document of this whole project. And on that document, there's many, many quotes like the ones that I just read for you. If you grab those quotes, again, priestsforlife.org/isthiswhatyoumean, because we're asking people when they say the word abortion, we're asking the politicians, when you say the word abortion, is this what you mean? The tearing apart of these babies, is this what you mean? When you read those quotes like Martin Haskell saying the skull is brought out in fragments rather than as a unified piece. And so brothers and sisters, all of these quotes, these diagrams, this information is available to you. We want you to use it to challenge those who are asking for your vote and to challenge your fellow voters. Let's raise the question like a battle cry. We need all hands on deck. We need to pull out all the stops. We need to raise our voices. We need to do what Isaiah said, cry out full-throated and unsparingly for justice. Make your voices heard about this. How can we let them get away with this? I don't understand how we can let them get away with this. Right now, they're asking us for our vote. So we've got something they want. They also have something we want. They can protect these babies. They can protect these babies. If enough of these Democrat senators would join their Republican colleagues who apparently have enough of a conscience to say this violence has to stop, if enough of them would join with them, President Trump next year could be signing a bill. So this could happen in January. He could be signing a bill to protect these babies from this violent procedure. Well, I tell you what, this is powerful stuff. No question about it. I want to transition now, brothers and sisters, and I want to show you some other clips of our president, because, you know, he's rallying the troops, just like I'm rallying you through these particular broadcasts. Now, between now and Election Day, we're going to have a lot to talk about, and I'm going to give you concrete tools like we are already giving you. We showed you the video before that you can use, the prolifepresident.com. We showed you these diagrams and these quotes that you can use to challenge your member of the House of Representatives and Senate who are asking for your vote. But we also have the rallies of President Trump. And I'm putting links up to these rallies on our website. You can see them at prolifevote.com/Trump rallies. prolifevote.com/Trump rallies. I'm giving you a lot of different websites here because we have a lot of different ones. prolifevote.com is our main election website. And then Trump rallies is where I've been putting the links as he's been going around from state to state, going there to endorse and to bring support to some of the key candidates that are running, especially for the U.S. Senate, so that we can end atrocities like this. What I've been doing is posting those rallies because I want you to watch them, and I want you to get other voters to watch them. And some of you have been to some of these rallies. What an exciting thing that is. But really, he's giving these rallies for the whole country to see because he's bringing us back to that moment 2 years ago when that enthusiasm was making all of us work so hard to elect somebody who was talking clearly and plainly about the things we believe, who was fighting and promising to fight for us and for these babies, for our religious freedom, for our military, for the veterans, for all these different things, for America. And so many of you share that very same spirit. That's what motivated us to vote back in 2016. And what he wants to do is what I was saying at the outset tonight, that all of us need to capture that same motivation and repeat it now in 2018. The people who came out to vote then need to come back out to vote now. And in these rallies, the president is giving us that vision again, and he's showing us why. He's showing us the stark difference that exists between the vision that he and the Republican Party are offering and the wacko vision that the Democrat Party is offering. I want to show you a few clips from one of these recent rallies. Again, prolifevote.com/Trump rallies, and you'll be able to watch all of them in their entirety. But this is just a few clips from one of them, the one that took place recently in Topeka, Kansas. Let's listen to some of the important things the president had to say.
Stand before you today on the heels of a tremendous victory for our nation, our people, and our beloved Constitution. Just a few hours ago, the U.S. Senate confirmed Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the United States Supreme Court. And I proudly signed the judge's commission aboard Air Force One just before landing. In their quest for power, the radical Democrats have turned into an angry mob. They threw away and threw aside every notion of fairness, of justice, of decency, and of due process. Nobody's seen anything like it. On November 6th, you will have the chance to stop the radical Democrats, and that's what they've become, by electing a Republican House and a Republican Senate. We will increase our majorities. We need more Republicans. We need more Republicans. You don't hand matches to an arsonist, and you don't give power to an angry left-wing mob. The Democrats have become too extreme and too dangerous to govern. Republicans believe in the rule of law, not the rule of the mob. Under Republican leadership, America is booming. America is thriving. America is winning because we are finally putting America first. The lowest unemployment rate in 50 years. We've created nearly 600,000 jobs in the last 3 months alone. Manufacturing confidence is at an all-time high. Confidence, very important. We have the best economy in the history of our country. The best. We're taking care of our veterans, protecting our great seniors, and rebuilding America's military might like it hasn't been built before. African-American unemployment has reached its lowest level in recorded history. The only reason to vote Democrat is if you're tired of winning, right? Tired of winning.
Democrats take control. Brothers and sisters, I hope you are as inspired, as encouraged as I am when I see those clips. Boy, oh boy. And he's continuing to have these rallies. This is what's going to bring us another miraculous election in 2018 like we had in 2016. We need you to watch these rallies. Watch them from beginning to end. You won't get tired of them. ProLifeVote.com/Trump rallies. Take the links, spread them to others, because in getting people to watch these rallies, they're going to recapture that spirit, that motivation, that vision, that encouragement that they had 2 years ago, and they get that energy to get back out and vote. They're going to remember the reason why they worked so hard 2 years ago, and they'll work hard again now. And they're going to see the progress that has been made, and it'll increase their appetite to see even more progress the next 2 years. Because the fact of the matter is that if the Democrats were to take control again of the House and or the Senate, well, the president would still be in the White House, but he would be unable to sign those laws he wants to sign, like those that would protect these babies or defund Planned Parenthood or do any number of other things, because the Congress won't send him the bills. They'll be all wrapped up in wasting the American people's time talking about things like impeachment, which they would not be able to do anyway. They can't remove anyone from office not having the kind of majorities that requires. So brothers and sisters, here's the point. There are right now a lot of states where voter registration has concluded. The deadline has passed to register new voters. But there are some states where you can still register new voters. And that's one of the key priorities if you're in one of those states. Now, how do you know? Again, go to ProLifeVote.com, and right at the top, one of the things we have is the election calendar, what happens next, and you'll be able to see if your state still has voter registration open. If so, get as many people to register as possible. Find out if they are registered. Make sure they check if they have to re-register, for example, if they've moved since the last election. Now, what is also starting to happen in various states is early voting. And if early voting has begun in your state, and again, you can check that calendar, ProLifeVote.com, and then just look for the link at the top that says what happens next in the 2018 elections. See if the early voting has begun in your state. If it has, start getting people to the polls. Remind them, offer to drive them, nudge them, go vote yourself. Why wait till election day if your state allows what's called no excuse early voting? In other words, hey, I could vote on election day, but I prefer to do it earlier. That's a great thing. It really is, because it enables all of us to work to get more and more voters. These are some of the key things we need to do. Watch the rallies. Share that video about the top 10 pro-life accomplishments. Again, that's at prolifepresident.com. And then two other things. I'm going to remind you about this in every program that we do. Number one, votinginfo.net is where you can get the party platform comparison piece. That is the piece that will show you the quotes from the party platforms of the Democrat and Republican parties. You can use that as an informational piece to educate your fellow voters. You can download it in English and Spanish, and we'll send you as many as you want. Votinginfo.net. You just sign in there with your name and email, and then you get access to this document. It can be distributed by churches, by the way, and there's a legal letter that says so. And then finally, election prayer campaign. We have a national prayer effort going on right now for this election. I want to say the prayer as we conclude here tonight. Electionprayer.com is the website. You can find the prayer there in English and Spanish. You can order this beautiful prayer card in as much quantity as you want. And you can let us know that you are joining in this prayer campaign. And if you have an organization or a church, you can co-sponsor the prayer campaign. electionprayer.com. So join me every day. We're going to be broadcasting about the election every day now, from now to November 6th, all hands on deck. It's time to pull out all the stops. It's time to rally the troops. It's time for you to tell your friends, your neighbors, your fellow worshipers, everybody you know, people in your pro-life groups, tune in here every day. Sign up for the notifications here on Facebook and then on our online channel, endabortion.tv. These are the places to go to see these daily programs. We'll come on with you at 9 o'clock at night live, and we will sometimes have pre-taped programming. We'll do morning broadcasts as well. We need to fire up the troops, and I hope we've done that for you tonight. This is number one priority the next 3 weeks, winning these elections. Number one priority. It's the only thing I'm going to be doing for these next 3 weeks, as we've been focusing on it for a long time before today as well. Let's say the election prayer together and ask God to guide and bless this nation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O God, we acknowledge you today as Lord, not only of individuals, but of nations and governments. We thank you for the privilege of being able to organize ourselves politically and of knowing that political loyalty does not have to mean disloyalty to you. We thank you for your law, which our founding fathers acknowledged and recognized as higher than any human law. We thank you for the opportunity that this election year puts before us to exercise our solemn duty not only to vote, but to influence countless others to vote and to vote correctly. Lord, we pray that your people may be awakened. Let them realize that while politics is not their salvation, their response to you requires that they be politically active. Awaken your people to know that they are not called to be a sect fleeing the world, but rather a community of faith renewing the world. Awaken them that the same hands lifted up to you in prayer are the hands that pull the lever in the voting booth, that the same eyes that read your word are the eyes that read the names on the ballot, and that they do not cease to be Christians when they enter the voting booth. Awaken your people to a commitment to justice, to the sanctity of marriage and the family, to the dignity of each individual human life, and to the truth that human rights begin when human lives begin, and not one moment later. Lord, we rejoice today that we are citizens of your kingdom. May that make us all the more committed to being faithful citizens on earth. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. electionprayer.com. Go there. Let us know that you have gone there and that you are saying this prayer with us each day for victory in the 2018 midterm elections. I'm Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. And now may the Lord bless you and protect you and invigorate you to be his apostles for change in this world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Talk to you again tomorrow.
Hello, I'm Evangelist Alveda King. Our team at Priest for Life produces many books, pamphlets, audio and video presentations, and other resources to help you protect the unborn. I invite you today to visit our online store at prolifeproducts.org and see the many helpful resources you can get for yourself, your pro-life group, and your church. God bless you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.